Welcome to Friendly Connection. I'm your host, Chuck Hartman.
Remember, when navigating hard times and uncertain seasons, God keeps all who remain in Christ.
Friendly Connection is an inspirational and encouraging weekly walk through the Word.
You stand on the authority of God's Word and you say to Satan, I am a child of God. I remember the day and the time God saved me.
I pray that today's message will be an encouragement as you live out your faith. Now, let's go to today's message.
I want to share with you a story that I once heard. A story about a crow that was looking for true joy. And this crow flew around the countryside, and the crow found a swan. And the swan was so beautiful and so majestic out on the river, and the crow noticed how people would just admire the swan and the swan's beauty. And the crow thought, oh, if only I were like swan, I would know true joy. People tend to try to shoo me out of their trees, but not so with swan. They come and they admire swan and swan's beauty. So crow goes and he speaks to swan and he says, swan, you must know true joy because you're so beautiful and people admire you. And swan said to crow, yes, I used to think that those things brought me true joy. But one day I discovered parrot. And parrot has feathers of many colors, beautiful like the rainbow. I think if I were like parrot, I would know true joy. So crow, determined to find true joy, went and sought out parrot. And he sat and he talked with parrot, and parrot said something very similar to crow. He said, crow, I used to think my many colors and my beautiful feathers brought me true joy. He said, but one day I witnessed peacock. And peacock has this beautiful tail feather that's majestic and he's colored like royalty. He says, I think I would know true joy if I were as beautiful as peacock. He says, you can find peacock at the zoo. And so crow goes and he goes to the zoo and he watches for a while and he watches how people gather around peacock, and peacock will spread his tail feathers and just parade proudly. And so finally crow comes and he talks to peacock and he says, peacock, you must know true joy. With your beauty, it's like royalty. People admire you. They see you day in and day out. And peacock said to crow, I used to think that my beauty and the admiration of people brought me true joy. He says, but as of late, I've been watching you, crow, and your kind. And he says, you see, I'm a prisoner here in this zoo. People come to see me, but I can never leave this zoo. He says, I think those that know true joy are like you, crow, who have the autonomy to go and come as you please. I sometimes think that we're a lot like crow, that we look to many different things in this world to bring us joy, but those things often fade. It's not until we find the joy giver, and his name is Jesus Christ. It's not until we find Christ Jesus and we meet his conditions that we can know true joy. Joy that is everlasting. Joy that abounds even in the most dark of situations and circumstances. And today I want to share with you from Scripture someone who I believe probably knew temporal joy to a point, but probably inside didn't know the joy that he was really longing for. And thankfully, he meets the joy giver, Jesus, and he meets the conditions to find joy everlasting. His name is Zacchaeus, and we find Zacchaeus' account in the Gospel of Luke. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. We're going to be looking at the first 10 verses. I'll be reading from the ESV this morning. But Luke chapter 19, starting with verse 1, it reads like this. He entered Jericho, he being Jesus, he entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and he came down and he received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. "He has gone into to be a guest of a man who's a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Let us pray. Father, I pray that you add the blessing to the reading of your word today. Father, I pray that we are able to take away from your word new application to apply to our own lives so that we might know that joy that only comes from Jesus, that we might meet those conditions for joy, so that even in our darkest of days, the joy of the Lord just bubbles out of us and into this life and into the lives of others. Jesus, thank you. We love you. We praise you. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. So let's first of all think about first century tax collectors. I want you to understand, according to many theologians, that they believe that this was an occupation that was literally handed from father to son. So it's quite possible that Zacchaeus didn't even want to be a tax collector, that this had just been his lot in life because his father and perhaps his grandfather and perhaps many generations before him had been tax collectors. I want you to also understand that for the first century tax collector, their account in court was rarely even thought of as truthful. They would be shunned. They would be put aside as untruthful. To the religious elite of Zacchaeus' day and of Jesus' day, they considered tax collectors as unclean because they had dealings with the Romans. And of course, the Romans were not Jews, and anyone who was not Jew was unclean because in the Jewish mind, for those of us who aren't Jewish, we're unclean. We're not God's chosen people. Also, for the first century tax collector, the religious elite thought of them as unredeemable. In other words, they considered them that there was no hope for their eternal soul, that they were just the scum of the earth. No hope for them. So why even associate with them? So in the latter part of our text, when we see Jesus say, "Today salvation has come to Zacchaeus and his house," we understand a little better why the people around were saying, "What, this man's a sinner? What's Jesus saying?" You know, because they considered tax collectors as unredeemable. Have we ever considered anyone as unredeemable? I pray not. Because Jesus himself said in John 3:16 that he came to save the entire world, the whole world. All people are redeemable when they turn to the joy giver, when they turn to Jesus, when they know him in the free pardon of sin. And that's exactly what happened with Zacchaeus this day. A couple of things that jump out at me at the text that I'd like to share with you this morning. The first thing is this: Zacchaeus' focus changed. I want you to understand, when he first went out to see Jesus, his focus was on curiosity. Do you ever come to church in mere curiosity of who Jesus is? Hey, that's a wonderful place to start. But if Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, all we do is to come and meet Jesus out of curiosity, and there's not been any change in our heart, then there's a fundamental problem. We have to know Christ Jesus. But see, Zacchaeus' focus changed. It was probably somewhat of a selfish focus. We learn from the text that he is short in stature. He can't see above the people. So what does he do? He climbs up a sycamore tree because he wants to see Christ Jesus. He wants to see who this is that he's probably heard so much about. And so he goes to Jesus. He sees Jesus. Jesus comes to him, looks up in the tree and says, "Come down. Today I want to dine with you at your house, this day." All of a sudden, Zacchaeus' focus changes. It goes from curiosity to a place of relationship, of coming into a relationship, to a fellowship with Jesus Christ. And that's the first condition of our finding joy, is knowing Jesus first, being sure that Jesus has first place in our life. In fact, if you look at the word joy, the first letter is J. And J for me, if you want to think about it, is Jesus first. Does Jesus have first place in your life? Do you come to him for relationship, or do you come to him for curiosity? Curiosity is a fine place to start, but be sure that relationship happens. Because without relationship, then it's all vanity. You have to know Christ. So, like Zacchaeus, make sure that there's been a change of focus in your life. The second thing that steps or really jumps out at me at this passage of Scripture is this: Zacchaeus' ambitions change. His ambitions change. He goes from probably being someone who is interested in personal gain, because a lot of times tax collectors in the first century would add on to the taxes of the people, and they would add on for their personal gain. And the fact that the scripture says that he was very wealthy suggests that maybe he and his family for years had been adding on to the taxes that were actually owed so that they could pad their own pocket. The fact that he scurries up the tree to see who Jesus was says something of Zacchaeus' potential selfishness, that he's wanting to see. I mean, whatever it takes, it's about him. But all of a sudden, his ambition begins to change. If you look at verse 8, you see it says, "Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold.'" Zacchaeus came to Jesus, and when he met Jesus, his ambitions changed. Now in John chapter 1, we understand that Jesus is the Word made flesh. And it's the same for us today. We come to Jesus, but we also come to his Word. And when we get into his Word, and we find out how our ambitions line up with God's ambitions, something should begin to change. Our ambition should begin to change. Hebrews 4:12 reminds us, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." So like Zacchaeus came to the Word made flesh, came to Jesus, we come to the Word, we spend time in God's Word to make sure our ambitions line up with God's ambitions. And all of a sudden we see Zacchaeus going from very self-focused to very others-focused. In fact, the second letter in joy is O. Jesus first, O, others second. All of a sudden, it wasn't about Zacchaeus. It was about others and blessing others. Which takes us to the third point that really jumps out at me. And that is this: when Zacchaeus' focus changed and his ambitions changed, his self-position changed. The last letter in joy is Y. Yourself last. All of a sudden, we see that Zacchaeus is putting himself last, and he's putting the, the preferences of others first. He's wanting to give half of all his goods to the poor. And if he's defrauded anyone of anything, he's not going to just restore it. He's going to restore it fourfold, four times. Think about that. That's quite a sacrifice. But all of a sudden, Zacchaeus is seeing, in the light of Jesus, in the light of Jesus' ambition, in the light of who Jesus is, Zacchaeus is seeing himself for who he truly is. Now, what does Jesus say to Zacchaeus? Today, salvation has come to this house. And of course, again, the religious folks and those around considered Zacchaeus less than. And they're thinking, how in the world can salvation come to this man? Because he's defrauded. He's just by birth being who he was born to be, a tax collector. He's unworthy. Jesus is not so. He too is a son of Abraham. And Jesus said that he had came to seek and save that which is lost. So a question that I ask myself, actually there are two at this juncture that I ask myself and I pray you ask as well. First, do I see people in this world as unredeemable? Do I think just by where they were born or what family they were born into or what occupation they were born into, that God could never love them, that they're unredeemable? Because if I believe that, just like the religious folks of Jesus' day, my theology is wrong. Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. And we are all lost and undone without Jesus. We've all been in that place. And Jesus has gave his very best for you and for me, so that we can know not just life eternal, but joy. Joy even in the darkest of situations and circumstances. There are none that are unredeemable. I don't care what you've done in your past, how badly you think you may have messed up. God can redeem you because he loves you. And not only can he redeem you, he can fill your life with so much joy that it just bubbles out even in the darkest, bleakest of times and situations and circumstances. The second thing that I would ask myself and hope that you ask yourself as well is this. What order do I put others? Do I put the needs of others before my own needs? You know, it's not always easy. I know I'm a selfish person. It's one of those things that Jesus is dealing with me about. But do I put the needs of others first? Because here's the truth. If you really want to know joy, and you want to know joy unspeakable, joy everlasting, eternal, it must be J, Jesus first, O, others second, Y, yourself last. But when you meet those conditions, when you use that acronym for joy, I promise you this, Jesus will fill your life with so much joy that it's just unspeakable.
I hope you'll join us again for Friendly Connection so we can explore God's Word together. Blessings.